Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
MVP race.
In the NFL, yes, I know we're only 3 weeks in, but yet there have been some very dominant performances thus far by, I want to point to three quarterbacks in particular, and I wonder if John's going to add anyone to my list. But based on what we've seen so far through three games, and you tell me if I've got the wrong three, Josh Allen right there, mm-hmm. The Buffalo Bills quarterback, he's thrown for over 1,000 yards already, 9 touchdowns. He's got the one rush TD as well. Lamar Jackson, who despite losing to that Miami team, still 2-1, basically single-handedly beat the Patriots last week. He's at 749 passing yards, leads the league with 10 touchdown passes. So he leads the league in a category right now that, you know, usually owned by Aaron Rodgers, the Josh Allens, those guys. He's got 2 rushing touchdowns as well. And then I think you got to put into the mix, especially considering the fact that they are 3-0, Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
916 pass yards compares favorably to Josh Allen's 1,000. He's only got, though, the 4 touchdown passes. However, we've seen him, too. He's been a touchdown machine. He's got more than Josh and Lamar on the ground. He's got 3 rushing touchdowns and has only thrown 1 interception to Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson's 2. Am I leaving out anyone glaring? Is there a glaring omission so far? Should I have a Patrick Mahomes, who would obviously say I should be on this list, should I have him on this early list, or do I have the right three so far?
Well, I mean, it just depends on...
Is he on their level?
On who you ask. So over at Superbook, Patrick Mahomes is second in terms of odds.
So that answer would be at least the Vegas thinks, the sportsbooks think so. They think he should still be on
it here. Feels like one of the MVP is going to come from one of these four. Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts. It feels like it's a 4-horse race. Right,
I'm not going to argue or get emotional about somebody, I mean, including Mahomes
Tua
in a top
maybe
four
could
right now.
Get in there if the
he's been bad at times too, but
yeah.
he's also been, you know, absolutely heroic.
I don't see any kind of long
Ravens
shot here.
Bills.
I mean, I just don't feel like the Jags are going to be good enough for Trevor Lawrence at plus 3,000.
The ribs take Justin Herbert sort of out of the race
well,
for
also,
now.
Also, like, they're losing.
Probably
they
likely
the
to not return.
Home by 4 touchdowns, mm-hmm. Man. That hurts.
Again, you wonder how much of that
if
is.
If the Jags make the playoffs, is Trevor Lawrence in consideration?
Yeah. The numbers he's putting up, he is.
But I just don't
think. He
feel
wouldn't
like,
win.
Yeah, he wouldn't
but
win.
Been, you could put him in the top 5.
I mean, Josh Allen's throwing the ball 63 times a game, man. He's going to probably win it. That's why he's plus 225. I mean, I just don't – Lamar could, you know, if he scores 4 touchdowns a game, he could. But I don't think he's going to be able to out-duel Josh Allen. I mean, I do think Jalen Hurts deserves a lot of credit, man. He is an MVP-caliber quarterback this
mm-hmm.
year.
Yeah, we're not talking about is he a quarterback anymore. We're talking about is he elite quarterback. It's a different conversation.
There was one thing Trista Crick said yesterday that I didn't want to like get into because we were up against it. But she said that the Philadelphia Eagles almost beat the Bucks last year in the playoffs. That is not true, okay? They did not come close. They were down 31-0, and then they scored 15 points in the fourth quarter that were meaningless.
Mm.
They did not almost beat the Bucks. However, if they indeed did meet up again, I believe it would be a very different matchup in the postseason. And I do give the Eagles a very good chance to beat the Buccaneers with the way that Jalen Hurts is playing. Plus, you add in A.J. Brown, you know, your defense is incredible, right? You got Bradbury and you got Darius Slay. You have a very, very good team cooking in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were going to sit there and, you know, I liked Lamar preseason. He was around plus 1,400. He's come all the way down to plus 500. So if you got that in, good value. That being said, value is only matters if you win. And I just don't see anybody beating Josh Allen out. Because I also think they're going to have the best record in the NFL. That's the other thing. He's the guy. They're probably going to have the best record in the NFL. And that's typically who the award goes to. So, yeah, I mean, I think
you're smart to pick him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like he's, you know, but could Mahomes win it? Sure.
I mean, Lamar is the one.
If Lamar does
put the
3
rushing
to 4
with
touchdowns,
the passing,
right.
He's doing some historic stuff. He's on pace for like 65 touchdowns.
His numbers are, that's it?
And it's 10 touchdown passes as well right now.
He's only on pace for 65 touchdowns
65
this year.
65 or 68. What do you mean only?
That's not that many, man. That's just, I mean, I need a little bit more from him. If you want me to guarantee, you know.
Well, why does it always require more? $250 million. It's like, you just like the Baltimore Ravens. Why does it always require, why do you all always require more of Lamar?
Is 70 touchdowns that much?
What?
Huh? Is that many?
What are you talking about?
70 touchdowns?
If he threw for 50 and ran for 20, would that seem like a lot, fool?
No, I need, dude.
Okay, I see now. Because you smile.
Davis Mills does that every week.
At first, I thought you were for real, so I started raising my voice. It seemed like you were for real.
Davis Mills.
But that was not very impressive.
In Houston.
Yeah, you're not being for real at all.
No, it's crazy.
Lamar is the guy that you need to be watching out for. Because, again, he's doing this in a contract year.
Yeah.
This is about proving the Ravens owe me Deshaun Watson $230 million guarantee money, and he's playing like it. If he continues to, he's going to be the MVP.
Yeah, but I do think it's an interesting race. I will say that. It is a very entertaining MVP.
Well, I just
race.
Like it's not Aaron Rodgers for a dang change.
Well, yeah, he is.
I'm sure they'll find a way to vote him on up in here, though, when they run off, you know, 7 straight wins.
They did get the Dubski, though, over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I thought their defense. But again, you're going up against a Bucs team that has zero weapons other than Fournette right now.
Yeah, man, it's like, you know,
it's not the real Bucs other than that defense.
No, it is. It you're exactly right. I mean,
I do think Green Bay in the end, though, John, will be there, you know, and probably be the king of the North again.
So you mentioned Brady. He's an underdog this weekend.
That's a big one
against the Kansas City Chiefs, right at home. He is 4-2 straight up. He is 5-1 against the spread, and he is 3-0 against the spread as a home dog. This is in his time with the Buccaneers. Patty will be playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday night. Do you realize that Tom Brady, as an underdog, is 41-17-1 against the spread?
Mm.
What's more impressive? The fact that he is 41-17 against this and one against the spread as an underdog, or the fact that he's only been an underdog in his career 59 times?
Probably the only been the underdog 59 times.
The Lions are an underdog 59 times every four years.
A year.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean,
like that, they're always underdog. You know, Brady's only done it, you know, how many games has he played, right? I would imagine 16 times, 20. Right, he's been in the league for when did he come in? 90 was it 2000?
He looked like a caveman when he got into the league.
It was the first year that Pujols was in, I think. So
what year was that?
2002, I believe.
Was Brady two? Was it Brady 2002?
I'm about to tell you. Just calm your
he's
horses.
Pull it up
2000.
Here.
Okay,
there
so
it is.
2000.
You're right.
So let's say 21 years, right?
Yeah.
21
okay.
times 16. 336 regular season games played. Now, he's missed some, right, because of an ACL, the mm-hmm. ACL, but we're just rounding that up. 330, so let's take minus 16. So 320 games he has played in the regular season, and only 59 times has he been an underdog. That's pretty damn incredible.
Yeah, he's at 321. Your math was good there.
Okay, so 59.
Started 319 of them.
59 is what percent of 320. That is 18%. So 82% of the time that Tom Brady takes the field, he is a favorite. That is, I mean, I would.
That's the more impressive thing.
I would, you know, the quick trivia here. You know who holds the record for longest favored streak in the history of the NFL? Like longest, like what team was favored? Like, you know, who holds that streak? Longest streak of being favored. Do you have a guess?
I don't think my Bears, I don't think that 85? Went long enough in 85. I mean, we were dominant the next year, too, but it didn't win it. Just give me a 49ers team or something that rolled for a few years.
Not a bad guess. It was the greatest show on turf.
I knew it had to be a run like that.
Yeah.
Lasted more than a year.
They were favored, like, every game for 3 or 4 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty amazing. I love little nerd stats like that, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think that's just super interesting. Anyway.
MVP race. John's got Josh Allen.
I mean, I do. I mean, I have
He's
to.
Smart to have him.
I mean,
that's
I,
who
you
Vegas
know,
has got.
I do think it's a race. I don't think it's over. I just feel like the odds are, and that's why they're set that way, he's just gonna his usage is just so insane. And if they have the best record and he's got the highest usage, that's you know who the award goes
Likely
to.
Likely to be there. Watch out for Lamar Jackson though.
Next story.
All right, I'm gonna put on my meteorology hat here. You know I like to do this every now and then. We got a huge storm making landfall as we speak. The eye wall. Are you familiar with the eye wall of hurricanes?
Mm-mm.
Me either. But the eye wall of Hurricane Ian, with dangerous winds near Category 5 status, has started to make landfall there in Southwest Florida.
Got the Weather Channel theme here.
Oh, is that what this is? Yeah.
Yeah, I figured I'd theme it out for Jim Cantore over here.
Yeah, so there are people that are still there. And I guess not everybody can evacuate, right? I guess not everybody is in a position to do that. Although, like, I feel like if you live in the state of Florida, you should make sure you're able to evacuate, because I'm already seeing videos and images. Like, the storm is very violent, and cars are already submerged underwater, and this thing just started happening. They've already estimated, you know, God knows how much this is going to cost. I think they're estimating this will be the costliest storm in the history of America in terms of damage.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's how serious this is. I mean, this is a disaster. It's a Category 5, and it is making landfall as we speak. As we already know, in terms of the sports calendar, which is the least important thing, Florida has postponed its game against that Rudy Pooh Candy-ass team that it was playing. They've moved that to next month.
What about Bucks and the game we just talked about? Isn't that one in Tampa?
I think they have. That's a good question. I don't know what they did about that one.
Last I heard, the plan was still to have it there, but that they were monitoring things. I don't know if that plan had changed.
They're practicing in Miami,
mm-hmm.
because of the hurricane, and I don't know what the plan is. U.S. Bank Stadium, is that in Minnesota? That's Minnesota's team. That's Minnesota's arena, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they
we
said
in Minnesota now.
They said they will be happy to host it there.
Oh, yeah, I heard it this morning. That meant that the Minnesota might be an option.
Yeah.
But I guess they're still weighing all possibilities that Tampa might not get hit. They could play this game there. That hasn't been decided all the way up to now?
It is not. Well, it just made landfall, so I'm assuming that they will make that decision in short order.
It needs to be today or tomorrow, right? I mean, in terms of where you're going to play it and getting there and everything else.
Here's the thing. Let me tell you this.
If the alternative is Minnesota.
Let me tell you this. You do not fade the team that has been afflicted by hurricanes.
Oh,
don't do that. Yeah, you're going to be tempted to do that?
You mean because they've been together? Yes. I heard Donnie Foxworth made this argument.
I think
it's about where you're about to go.
What did he say?
Is that actually this would probably be a good thing for Tampa if they're it takes away distractions when you're all the way. Once you've taken care of the family,
yep.
This is his point. You've taken care of the family. You're good on where they're staying, everything else. That once you're in that sort of camp environment again on the road, Tom Brady's telling you guys, you know, we're not going to let this be a distraction. We've got to come together more than ever right now.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to fewer distractions. You would think it'd be the opposite of that, but that sort of huddle camp approach, we're all together on the road, sort of can lead to some, you know, some galvanization and some wins, was his point.
Yeah. So
to this point, don't be worried about them.
Yeah, I'm not fading Tampa Bay. Like you're tempted to do like, oh, because I've been worried about the hurricane, la la la. Last year, this New Orleans Saints, week one, they played the damn game in Jacksonville. There was some hurricane that hit in week one, and they absolutely killed Green Bay, mm-hmm. right? They destroyed Green Bay.
I remember.
And then the last time when Katrina hit, what did the Saints do the season after? They won the damn Super Bowl, bro. They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was for the city.
So you do not fade ever the team that is going through hurricane problems. You just don't do it. They're undefeated against the spread when having to move or adjust their schedule based on any kind of weather or hurricane event. I do hope that, because I know we certainly have some listeners in Florida. I know that for a fact. And I hope that they have been able to evacuate and get out of town, because this thing is no joke. I mean, you're talking about storm surges. You're talking about flooding. You know, you're talking about some serious, serious damage here. New Orleans got hit. That was because I was going to a bachelor party for my man Tyler last year, and we had to move the venue back to Tunica because New Orleans had, you know, lost power for so long. You know, that's no joke. I mean, even I remember the you know, the gale force winds here in Memphis. A lot of people were, I mean, that's an underrated piece of it. You know, it's not just about like your infrastructure. It's not just about your, whether or not you lose your home. It's like, even if you are lucky enough to not lose your home, it's like, you're not going to have power. You're not going to be able to get resources. You know, like, it's a nightmare. It's a true nightmare. So my thoughts are certainly with the people in Florida, and I hope that you know, if you're there, hopefully you were able to get out and hope you had flood insurance for sure.
Next story.
All right, we mentioned this earlier. I'm calling it trap game in the city. John Martin says it's a, how'd you put it, spread trap game?
Yeah.
We're talking about Temple at Memphis this weekend. It's 11 a.m. game on Saturday. Should be beautiful weather over there at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. See how smooth that was?
Yeah, really.
Some of us have moved on. You know, some of us learn. We're like computers, and we keep evolving. Yeah. Seth Hennigan's been fantastic, although he was not good enough for some of us last week, or at least that Memphis passing game was not. That said, they got the run game going over 200 yards last week against North Texas. You're taking on a Temple team that's a lot like, I want to put this in a nice little box, nice little package so we can all understand that. Basically, a Temple team that's a lot like what Memphis has already beat in North Texas, Arkansas State, and Navy, ranked around the same area in those ESPN SP Plus rankings that are basically the KenPom rankings of college football efficiency. So, again, it's a Temple team, another picked 11th in the AAC, last, dead last to start the year. And it's one you lost to last season after leading 17-0. You lost 34-31 up there. Again, a disappointing outcome. You've got a better team. And the key, we call it a trap game because obviously there's a huge situation next week, potentially, against a Houston team that was picked as the conference favorite in the AAC prior to the season, but is now 2-2 this season, is looking very beatable. So it's a great opportunity for Memphis, as we've said, to be 4-1 going into that matchup next Friday, which will be on ESPN2. Here's the nugget I found, though, I want to add to what we didn't have there that first hour. I wonder if John believes this or not. How about this? It's been since 2016 that Memphis has opened the year 2-0 in the AAC.
Wow.
So that goes beyond the good ones.
Wow.
The 19, the 18, everything else. They haven't been 2-0 in the AAC. It's in the game notes. Since 2016. It's been a while. And I realized we'd say, well, who you beating, Navy Temple? It hadn't even set up where they played two bad teams to start the year off. If you go back and look, it hadn't set up that way.
Right.
To where you even get off to a 2-0 start against bad teams in the AAC. I just found the fact that you had to go back beyond 18 and 19, you know, to go back to 16 to find the last time you started 2-0 in the AAC just struck me as, wow. Seems like they've gotten off to better starts, at least in conference play. More recently. That said, now you wouldn't get a you're not going to get any medals for knocking off Temple,
right.
But do what you're supposed to do. We said the same thing against Navy, 10th out of 11 they were picked. If you're a team that's moving up in this conference, getting yourself ready to hopefully take it over next year, you're knocking off teams like Temple, especially at home. Got a decent defense, ranked top 70 in the country, but that offense, as we pointed out in the first half, one of the worst in the country, 127 out of 131 FBS team.
Yeah, 2018, I recall, they started 0-2 that year, I want to say, in the AAC.
How about that?
Yeah, because they lost to Navy by one. Remember that?
I had to go back and read it, make sure it wasn't a misprint.
Yeah, and then they lost in humiliating fashion to Tulane.
Mm.
That was a tough one there. That was a tough one. They weren't that good that year, right? They ended up going to the AAC title game by merit of the divisions.
Oh, that's right.
They were 5-3 in the division, in the conference, and that was good enough for to represent. I think they won some tiebreaker with SMU or something.
We have
or Houston. Sorry.
Pardon me. Rob Fisher chiming in on the show. Texas show. Have you seen this? Memphis 0-7 against the spread versus Temple was a dog in all seven of those games.
Oh, my God. Really?
That is a fish nugget courtesy of Rob Fisher. 0-7 against the spread. Temple was a dog in all seven of those games.
Temple was a dog in all seven of those games.
They always make us look bad.
They do. Woo. And they have a good pass defense. They're fifth in the country in pass defense.
They're third in sacks.
So this is definitely...
I told you, the defense is respectable, but let's not act like they're some top 25 unit.
Look,
offense is pathetic.
I told you, I'm not playing this game. If I was playing this game, it would have to be maybe the under.
Oof.
Right. What's the total? That's interesting. I bet it's pretty low.
I thought I had that too earlier.
Yeah,
total 51.5, at least last I looked.
I would go under that. I don't see it.
Well,
going
Rob
over
told
that.
You about Florida and about covering. He said he'd take Florida in the points.
Well,
right? Right.
I think Rob knows how damn fortunate he was to get that back door.
Yeah, that was.
Right.
Yeah.
But he ended up right. He pointed
did.
To the history.
He
He's pointing
he
to the history
he
here.
He
history
is.
Came
he
through.
Is. Billy Napier was playing for the cover. He wasn't playing for the win. Bro was going for two down.
So
nine,
I was already
kind of 11.
I was already kind of 19's too much, you know. Even though you like them against it, yeah. And when you throw in Rob's history with it,
right?
Yeah,
Rob,
I like Memphis.
Rob does bring the history,
but Temple makes you look ugly. He reminds you of that.
But you know, that's the thing. Just whatever you think this Memphis football team is about to do, man, they kind of do the opposite. You know what I'm saying?
What you talking about? We said they're going to go 4-1. They're going to be 4-1.
I'm saying
how that's opposite.
Within the game, right? We thought they were going to wax. We thought they were going to wax.
You're still mad Seth didn't throw for 300 last week. That's what I sense.
I am. I feel like take a couple shots, bro.
Did you and Ren Baker have a bet or something? Did y'all bet that Seth Hennigan was
going to
throw for 350?
I'm glad we did.
Because you've been disappointed.
Because he would have won.
This is the most disappointed I've ever seen you after a dub.
No, I just feel like, you know, you got to take a couple shots, bro. Take a couple Terramana shots to the head. You know, throw something down the field once or twice for the fans.
Get it to Ivory. I
for
love
the fans.
Ivory. Get it to Skates.
Bonus Rob Fisher text.
Okay.
And a fish nugget. The last four meetings was the over with Temple.
Interesting.
John Martin.
I cannot see this one going over. I don't see this one. I mean, because Temple's offense is that bad. I just don't see it happening.
Temple's offense is bad.
Yeah,
unless they get in the red zone for whatever reason.
And most of those meetings, they had the XFL God, right? PJ Walker.
Yep.
Didn't they have him? They had real good quarterback play in those games. So they don't have that anymore. And you know, I don't know what I'm getting from Memphis I don't know what's getting dialed up. We might run that, you know, halfback dive, you know, four times.
From BetQL, they have this as a one-star confidence. They don't like this game at all. BetQL says they have Temple at plus 18 points, which is a minus 1 point difference from the current line, consider taking the underdog. Ryan Silver is 2-12 after playing a game at home while coaching Memphis.
You hard on the 38th ranked offense in the country, bro.
Well, it was not 38 in the country on Saturday, bro.
It's 38th after these four games that it's played.
The only thing they got 38 was halfback gut. That got called 38 different times, right? Gut. Up the middle.
Ryan, this man don't like your play calls, brother.
I mean, it was like that man. Ryan ain't the play caller. It's Cramsey.
No, it's true. He hands it over, I suppose. But it's his name on it.
Well, yeah, it's his hire. But I'm just saying, like, we saw all the Madden runs. We saw a halfback counter, halfback dive, halfback toss.
44, fool. We had to get it uncorked.
We ran.
And we went over 200 finally. I don't know why you don't like 4.4 rush. Most folks will take that all day long.
Yeah. I mean, we got to mix it up. I did like the pre-scoring play where we fake the handoff, you know, get it to him in the flat.
He's,
you know,
a stud.
I like that.
And it was well designed.
But, you know, we got to move on from the bubble screens here, bro. We got to move on from the bubble screen halfback gut.
I do think there's many Memphis fans that feel the same way you do. They won't see.
Pre-scoring.
Want more excitement.
Yeah, just, you know, just a little razzle-dazzle, a little razzmatazz.
I mean, they're going over 40 like the last three games, though, right? Now you're going to tell me that defense did two of those, Jason, last week.
Yeah, three of them, if we're being honest.
Might as well been three, yes.
Yeah, that is not enough. 21 points is not enough. 14, really. 14 is not enough points generated by your offense against one of the worst teams. Now, we'll see what they do against Temple. If they come out against Temple and they score 31 offensive points, like, we good. It's fine. I'll live within the 30s. I'll live within that.
So you think this is a 35-17 game?
That would be over. So I would say no. I think this is more like a 28-10 type of game. That's what
that's
I,
ugly.
That's
man.
What
and
I,
you gonna come in here on Monday and be like, "Yeah, they didn't score."
No, because I'm.
What are you calling the runs?
I'm going in expecting it. I just want to see. You know, the modifications to the.
That's fair.
You know, the halfback dives.
I'm not gonna be mad at you for that. I just want 4-1 playing Houston.
Yeah, I mean, we line
can
up.
We get that.
Yes, 100%. That jumbo package comes out on 3rd and 10. It's like, I don't want to see that jumbo package.
You're going too far, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
They ain't doing it like
they
that.
They bring in the extra old lineman on 3rd and 10, bro. I'm like, don't do it, man. Just go down the field. I just want to see that. You know, my man Seth Hemigan. You know, I need to get back to that. It was one game. I'm not going crazy. I'm having a little bit of fun. I'm not going crazy. I don't want people to run back and say, oh, yeah, man. Yeah. It's one game, okay? I'm just saying, what I saw in that game, I did not particularly enjoy from the offense. That's fine. It's one game. That does not dictate or, you know, it's not the end-all, be-all.
John up there, did y'all see the Bills?
Mm-hmm.
What did the Bills OC?
Yeah. Oh, he was throwing, was going bananas in the press box.
That was John out there on the play call on Memphis last week.
He broke the iPad.
When I saw the personnel on third and long, I started going crazy in the house. I started throwing stuff against, like, glass against
the
wall.
Dude, that ain't this team, though. They use the damn tight end. They got pre-scoring doing little routes. They're going to run the ball. This is going to be a dink and dunk team, bro.
I give them a little grace, man, to be honest, because it is a totally new-look offense, right? I mean, you lost Calvin Austin. You lost Sean Dykes.
Exactly.
You know, you lost a lot of playmakers, and you're trying to find the guys who it's going to be. And it's still early in the season, so, you know, I give them – again, it was more of a warning shot for me, right? It was more of just like, is this how it's going to be? And it was, I think a lot of it was influenced by how bad North Texas's defense was supposed to be. I just felt like you left a little bit on the table there. Again, not the end all be all, not the end of the world. They got a game on Saturday,
11 a.m.
They can get it right, get back to, you know, the Memphis. And I just think you got to revitalize that brand and keep it fresh. You know, I think that's what people want to see. So that's all it boils down to, man. By the way, on the Chiefs-Bucks game, we have an update. Ian Rappaport was listening. It will be hosted. There's no change yet, but it will be hosted at Bank of America Stadium if indeed they need to.
Yeah.
And I assume they'll make that determination as soon as they can, right? If it hits Tampa real hard, or there's a threat of that, I think they'll just go ahead and move it. You know what? I mean, you flying into that, you know, because you probably get in on Friday, right? You probably just don't want to risk it for the biscuit if you can just have it there in Minnesota. So anyway, that is the latest. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Lane Kiffin is going in on his fans.
Really?
Yeah, he's not happy. He's mad. He's very mad.
Be interested to hear
more. Oh.
And I think there is some validity to what he's saying, right? And what his complaints are. But I don't know how you fix it. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Then Mark Giannotti is going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN.
Start NFL Week 4 off right with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel. You know, America's number one sportsbook. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay does not hit. NFL Same Game Parlay is the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday on a small bet. Joe Mixon to go over on the rushing yards. Tyreek Hill going to score an anytime touchdown. By Jalen Waddle over on the yards. You can build your own or choose from one of the popular SGPs that are pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. Like we said, they make it easy. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL on Thursday night with a no-sweat same-game parlay. Just sign up again with the promo code JSmith if you don't already have an account. If you have FanDuel already, you're all set. Just sign in to see what you've got. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook betting partner of the NFL and of 929 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3+ legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Can you beat Vegas this football season? That's the kind of chance that Superbook Sports gives you every single week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Vegas. I got some very cool news that I hope to announce very soon with Superbook. In the meantime, no fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at Superbook in Vegas. They feature some of the best odds boosts and promo bets around. Super easy to use. Great app. Download the Superbook Sports app. Visit superbook.com. Start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Again, the problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Man, it's a crazy, crazy situation right now in Tampa. As Ian's wind has pushed water out of Tampa Bay, leaving it less than a foot deep, water is going to eventually return, and it could rise quickly in a matter of minutes, which would pose then a life-threatening risk, I guess, with all the quick movement there. I'm not sure exactly how that would work in terms of the science, but that is going on. We have some people that are from Tampa that tweeted us that are in Memphis for the week that were able to get out of there. So happy to hear that. But, man, you know, that's one of those things. Like, you always you know, people, like, where you want to retire to, you know what I'm saying? Where do you, like, you're going to see your dad, and is Belize typically a very busy place in terms of hurricane weather?
It's funny you ask that, because I wondered about that when Dad went down. I'm not wondered, I worried about it.
So, yeah.
You know, you're going to get hit hurricane season. Where are you going to be, you know, what happens then?
Yeah.
Because you're not coming back up. The way he's kind of compared it to me is, you know how it feels like, we always talk about the Mississippi River and how the bluff helps with, for whatever reason, it feels like it helps with the tornadoes and everything else. That's not to say tornadoes haven't, but in terms of.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, it, for whatever reason, it feels like for Dad, at least the time he's been down there, those hurricanes have turned north before they've hit him in Central America. So they turn north. Now, again, you know, that's not to say there's some science to it. It's always going to do that. But they do have it. Most time they turn up before they get to Belize. So they'll get all the warnings and all that, and certainly get all the rain and storms from the edges of things. But they've been fortunate and blessed that in the, I guess it's been almost 7 years, 7-8 years now he's been down there, that they haven't been hit majorly, because that hurricane will turn up.
Yep.
And go up, you know, towards Florida, towards the United States.
Yep. Yep. So I don't know. It's a crazy thing, because, like, you think about, like, retiring, and, you know, Florida seems great, but, man,
until this time of year,
right? Right,
when this becomes very real,
exactly. And that's
where,
like,
where you'll live and what you'll do in the meantime.
Do I want to be picking up and, like, you know, at 70 years old? Do I want to be picking up and, you know, what if it happens?
I don't see how you could ever get used to that.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
If you're a Florida resident,
I don't think you can.
Do you? I mean, again, to be displaced like that for any amount of time. Throws your routine off, everything. So how they do that year after year, just, you know, again, amazes me.
You gotta love. I mean, like, there's something to be said. Like your dad, right? Like, that is I think Belize is a great choice. It's a great spot because the American dollar goes a lot further. It's, you know,
mostly English speaking. That was the other.
Mostly English speaking. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, what a great. And he loves his life
so much that he hadn't come back. Yeah. And it wasn't his pick early. This was more his wife's pick to go down there.
Was he happy to just stay in Memphis?
No.
He wanted to go somewhere.
Yeah, well, you know, use the money, retire, whatever. But yeah. It was more for her pick. And yet,
right.
He's fallen completely in line.
Have you thought about, I mean, you're certainly getting up there. Have you thought about retirement towns?
Stop. You need to have this conversation with Calkins, man. What are you talking about?
Calkins ain't never going to retire, bro.
You can't retire and be thinking about retirement in America in your 40s. Unless you just hit it big early on.
Calkins ain't retiring.
Nobody doing that around here.
I believe he just signed a 10-year deal here at 92.9.
Man, hand clap. Congratulations, Jeff Calkins, 10-year deal signed with 90. Is that breaking news there? Or are you just lying on the radio?
No, I think he does have a new deal, though.
I think Jeff has a life. Don't him and Gary have lifetime deals here? If they don't,
yes.
They should.
Yes, they certainly
and
do.
I'm probably looking at the wrong guy. Like, that's the boss over there. I'm saying they should have lifetime deals.
Right, too. Yeah.
But I think that's pretty
a lot
much
of pressure on them.
Look, I mean, those are legends around here. Yeah, those are legends around here.
Who's on the chopping block around here?
Me.
I want to know, like,
dude, you oversee a Marconi nominated station. What are you talking about on the chopping block?
Rent is due every day, Jason.
That I'm aware of.
Yep.
Can't rest on your laurels. We get that.
Rent due every
day. But in terms of lifetime contracts in Memphis, we know that Jeff and Gary have lifetime ones in radio. Joe Burch has got a lifetime contract at Channel 5.
Ron Olson.
He'll leave the air when he's. Ron Olson has a lifetime contract. Those are people with lifetimes. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm starting to feel like Penny Hardaway might have a lifetime contract as the Memphis coach. As the Memphis coach.
He does.
Especially now. He just keeps winning.
Who else got a lifetime? Hopefully Ja would sign it. I don't know. Would he put
We would love to have Ja on a lifetime. Ja Morant, I'm on my
Grizzly. I mean, the offer.
That was nice
of
him to throw off that option on that final year, too.
The offer's on the table for Ja.
Yeah, we'll see if he wants it.
We certainly would love to have him, right, for a lifetime. Trying to think, anybody else? Because you know, nobody else on the Grizz gets a Desmond Bain can get a lifetime contract with the Grizz. I'll give it to Desmond Bain.
Yeah,
no Brad would co-sign that.
One cared who I was.
Love Desmond Bain. Favorite player.
No one else.
Underrated.
No one else gets a lifetime contract as of yet.
I'm just asking. What if he's reached his ceiling?
Nope.
And
no.
You could use him to get something better.
It depends on what it is.
We've talked about this before, Jason. That
y'all didn't want to put him in for Durant.
Y'all literally got no trade on over Desmond Bate like y'all got it on Ja Morant. It's not the same.
No, it's not the same. That's true.
If you could go out and get something big.
My feeling is when you draft a player in Memphis, in our market, and they are a star, I'm not even talking a superstar like Ja. I'm talking a star. You hold on to it. It's a diamond.
Did he come to your house?
Have you seen him play? Have you seen his shooting percentages?
Yes.
He's very, right there with Clay in shooting percentage.
He's a good, he's a great player, a good to great player.
He is the Clay Thompson to like Steph Curry matchup with John.
I don't know
that's
if he's gonna
two.
Be Clay, John. Is it gonna be Clay?
That's
the, Desmond
that's,
Bain gonna be Clay.
Pair. It's the pair. Yeah, in a different way.
Clay has done it year after year after year.
We need that, though.
You want it to be. You want him to be Clay.
Yes.
You want him to be Clay. He is not Clay.
That's all-star level at one point.
That's exactly right. He is the comp. Clay is like the ceiling comp.
Can he be better than Clay?
No.
Can Desmond Bain be a better player than Clay Thompson?
No.
You guys do not think so?
No.
I actually think
Clay.
He could be comparable.
He's fantastic.
I'm not even doing hyperbole here, I swear to God. No, like, I think it can be comparable.
I think a comp is good. I mean, I think you could be a version of Clay. I mean, but Clay.
Yeah, you said, can he be better?
Right.
The answer is no. You think he can, though. I mean, tell by that gleam
that's
in your
I'm
eye.
Talking this
Look,
through here.
I mean, Clay is a high percentage shooter, and Desmond
defense
Bain is a
defense is not always. Well, I guess it has been pretty good. You're,
Clay,
I'm sorry.
Clay
he's a good defender.
Clay is a really, really
good
defender.
He's long. He's actually longer. The problem is Desmond's he's slight. He's 6'5". Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be nice to get him 6'8". Yeah, he does kind of have raptor arms.
He does have
a little Brandon Clark. That's how they get these cats.
He has limitations. There's no question about it.
He's kind of the same draft as a Brandon. You know, they got Brandon. He dropped, and he was in the teens because he had little arms.
This is the first time in Clay Thompson's career that he shot less than 40% from three.
Wow. Now, Desmond, I think, could do things like that.
Yeah, that's what we say.
You wonder about, because Clay was a complete player. It's the other, for me, the biggest improvement would need to come on the other side of the ball, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
yes.
Because he's gonna score points. He's going to hit 40% from three. Like, that part's going to be there.
I mean, do you think.
Can you become a complete player?
You don't think Desmond Bane will ever have a season where he shoots less than 40% from three?
Never.
I mean, it'll
never happen.
The question was, do I think he can be that kind of shooter? I do.
If he shoots 38% from three, 38% from three is a good
elite.
Year from three.
It's elite.
Yes.
It's elite. Yes. What I'm saying he could do that. He's that skilled from three.
Yeah.
The likelihood is no. He'll have a couple of seasons where he's below 40, maybe more.
Yeah, I mean, that's how good Clay is. He shoots 39% from three, and everybody talks about he sucks now, you know? He set the bar very, very high
for himself.
You know, and it did. Like, you watch him, it's like, wait a minute, you don't usually miss these shots, bro. What are you doing? You know,
that's all lift probably too, because he had to leg. You know,
he missed 3 years. I mean, he was gone for 3 years. That's really why. I mean, it's, you know, I suspect he'll come back and he'll have a resurgence.
But like
season.
He was the defender on that Ja Morant layup in the playoffs. I mean, that point was the difference in that game, and that was Klay Thompson all up in him.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll give Desmond Bane. I think because it's an act of confidence. You know what I'm saying? Act of confidence. He gets a lifetime contract.
Yeah, but there's only one guy that's untradeable on this team.
Wanda Halbert lifetime contract.
I will agree with that. There is only one player that's untradeable. There's no question about it. Yeah, that's
for the right thing.
Yeah,
yeah. For the right piece, it's got to be right. And the longer I thought about the Durant thing, I don't think there ever was a time where I was like convinced that would have been great here.
Well, it never took. I mean, the Grizz,
I know it was BS.
The Grizzlies said, all right, we'll give you Brandon Clark, Jake LaRivia, and two firsts for Kevin Durant. That never got off the ground.
Did I just hear you trying to trade Wanda Halbert in the deal we're putting with Bane to try to get something?
Oh,
big?
No, I was trying to give her a lifetime deal.
No, give her the deal.
Yeah, give her a lifetime deal.
Yeah, it's going great. Isn't it? Isn't it back open now? The counter clerk's off?
There are two people working the counter, and Mark has been in line for 4 hours today.
What's he getting, his tags?
He's getting tags. Yeah, he's just in line. There are 100 people in line and two people working the counter for Mark. I'm just speaking the truth here. He'll come on the show next hour.
Can't you get it mailed to you or no?
Mm-hmm.
And
I have my mail.
This is a new license. Remember, he has never had a Tennessee license.
This was happening.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, this was happening. Gotcha. So I decided to, you know, just have him send me the.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
That's what we can do, but he's new to Tennessee.
Gotcha.
In terms of license. His first license, remember, because he's getting a new car, new deal.
Okay, like that is.
But the dealership would have handled that, though, right?
Some of them don't because of money or transfer. Some people choose not to do that, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. There's reasons why. My wife has explained it to me.
No, dealership got mine on the new one.
Yeah.
But when I had to renew Mazda in the middle of all this, I just did it online. I didn't have much of a problem. What I don't understand is how you've taken 2 weeks off now and you're still this far behind.
It's inexcusable. Jason,
that's my thing.
Well, yeah.
She's above reproach. Well, it appears, by the way.
Well,
I mean,
of course,
like,
she is.
This is,
she's elected.
Well, they said you re-elected her, Brett. She had your vote.
I did not vote for Wanda Halbert. You know, I don't say any of my votes.
Wow.
I will tell you, I did not vote for her.
Canceled.
I figured you might be willing to share your vote
canceled.
On that one.
Let me be clear. I don't ever share my votes. I will share that one.
That I think Brad gets canceled. I mean, if you can't not vote for, I mean, you can maybe not vote for Wanda, but you can't say you didn't.
You
do
can't
it publicly.
Say it publicly. No, I'm sorry.
Is he canceled?
No. With her record at this point?
No, and it was happening.
I don't
happening.
Think we can, John.
It was happening before the election, too. Like, there were little, there was a report that came out before the election on this.
Mm.
It's mind-boggling.
What? I usually go to the one by the, it used to be like on the border or something, or on the Highland. You know what I'm talking about?
What?
Drivers?
Where you get your tags? Is there only like, you know?
There's one over there by the jail, the penal farm or whatever, right? Over there. There's another one in Raleigh.
Uh-huh.
Millington.
Off Austin Peay. There's one in Millington.
There's one by the, on Poplar.
Which one are you
Poplar
talking
and
about?
Highland, I think.
Poplar and Highland. Oh, the old Blockbuster? The old, they turned that into one?
I don't know what.
Isn't that old music place?
It's
the corner.
It's near there. It's right in that plaza. It's like a little known.
I haven't been to that one.
It's a little.
Oh no,
known.
No, the main one that's over down behind the massage place.
Is that it?
Yeah. It's over back in Poplar Plaza.
Yeah.
A little bit further in. Not right at the corner of Poplar and Highlands where you had me thinking of. It's on. Yeah. That one's there.
Yeah.
And that's the one that's had a line wrapped around it for
a
while.
It's one
of the ones. Yes.
Oh wow. Wow.
But again, you close the offices for 2 weeks to get caught up, and it still seems like you're so far behind. There's hour-long waits for everybody. Well, how much catching up did you do? It doesn't seem like you did that much.
She was back in Jamaica.
Not that second time.
Not that second time?
No, Jamaica was like, hell, no, you can't come back. You created too much of a a whirlwind with that one. You can't come back here. You need to get back to work. And they love tourists down. They're like, you need to get back to Jamaica. Said, no, you stay. You stay and get the job done.
Yeah, Jamaica's like, you hurting our reputation, man. You hurting our GDP.
Update from Mark. They're at number 54 in the line. He's number 68. So that's where we're at.
Okay, we're not going to get. Well, we might, actually. He could still be waiting during this segment here.
If he ain't doing nothing but waiting, he might as well. So we can just. This could be an opportunity for him to tee off, right? We can, like, let the office know.
There's boots on the ground. He can report from the front line.
That's right. That's exactly right. Anyway, he talked earlier about Lane Kiffin being upset with Ole Miss fans. We've got that audio. Let you hear it next. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.